This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I will not be joined by that no pork eating America lover, Big Al. He's out on assignment tonight, so we're flying solo. Hello, Ducky. Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. How you doing? Nice to see you, Duck. You get a Mamma Mia, no Sharia in there. So we always start off the show with a little brief PGA news. And this past weekend was the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego, California. And it's a rare Wednesday start with a Saturday finish. They play four rounds. Hello, Bigfoot, our big patriot. Check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And that's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. You want all kinds of news. You want international news, national news. Bigfoot does a fantastic job in putting together a blog spot. Read it every day. Love it. He does it's just outstanding. And then of course, when he's traveling, he gives you little tidbits, historical tidbits, which is also fascinating. And yet it's educational too. So thanks, Big. American Sam Ryder jumped out to a lead in the first three rounds of the Farmers Open. Unfortunately for Sam, he's not won a PGA tournament yet. He's been on, he's participated in 150 tournaments. He's 31 years old, and unfortunately, he stalled to an even par round on Friday's play, which is the third round, but he did maintain a one-shot lead. But the final round, it was a free-for-all, and it was bad news for Sam Ryder because he was going backwards along with world's number two, John Rahm, who had been playing brilliantly these last two tournaments that he's played, last three. He played good for 3 days anyways. But Max Homa and Keegan Bradley were on the move and each shot a 6-under par 66 for the final round on Saturday. Keegan's 6-under 66 vaulted him to the second place, a solo second place finish. But Max Homa stepped it up and he notched his sixth PGA Tour victory. He finished first, two shots ahead of Bradley. Sadly for Sam Ryder, he was seeking his first PGA Tour win. He finished in a tie for fourth. Falling four shots back. But I'll tell you, the young man played well, and hopefully he's got a little learning experience out of this. And You just can't shoot even par the last 2 days or a 75 on the last day. And it's just, it's too bad because he's a good young talent. But congratulations to Max Homa. He certainly played great in the third and fourth rounds. And on Sunday, he played absolutely fantastic on the back nine. So congratulations to you, Max. And it was kind of cool when they were, the fans were chanting Max, you know, in the final round as he hit. But he hit an incredible four iron from 231 yards on a par three, knocked it to like 15 feet and then drained the putt. So good for him. NHL news. We want to say kudos to the New York Rangers hockey team for not going woke. And this Marxist movement in America is being shoved down our throats for less than 5% of the population. So the New York Rangers Pride Night had followed the Philadelphia Flyers Pride Night. And the night of the Philadelphia Flyers Pride Night, defenseman Ivan Provorov boycotted the event because of his Russian Orthodox faith. Provorov stated, "I respect everybody. I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to stay true to my religion and myself." Coach John Tortorella, I love this guy. I really do. Tortorella's cool. Coach John Tortorella defended Provorov's right to exercise free expression, noting he was being true to himself and true to his religion. But isn't it what it's all about? Because Ivan Provorov said it best, "I respect everybody, and I respect everybody's choice." But you don't have to wear it on your sleeve. You know, but this is what the Marxists don't want. They don't want respect in our society any longer. They'd rather change society, resorting to identity politics, as they've done with this Pride Night for less than 5% of the population. And, of course, the identity politics is meant to fraction America. It's meant to fraction society. We've got Black America. We've got White America. We've got white nationalists, okay? We have gay, trans, both. There is a segment of population for everybody under the Marxist movement. Place a label on each and every person and make everyone a victim. Prey on emotions, symbolism over substance. Marxism despises individual freedoms and liberties, as does communism. Marxism would rather abridge those freedoms and liberties with their authoritarian and totalitarian rules and render the U.S. Constitution no longer relevant. And that is the goal. It's been the goal since Barack Hussein Satoru Obama entered the White House. It is the goal today under the feckless fraud Joe Biden in the White House, who has the Obama regime in the White House calling the shots. And a little note on Ivan Provorov, his jerseys have been sold out. They're sold out. So obviously hockey fans also agree with not having this Marxist mentality shoved down our throats, the identity politics. And if we can go back to "I respect everybody and I respect everybody's choice," it might resolve many of the problems that we have today in society. But then again, aren't the problems we have intentional? Some sad news from the hockey world. And this afternoon, former Chicago Blackhawk great Bobby Hull passed away at the age of 84. Bobby Hull is a true legend. He was born in Ontario, Canada, and he was best known for his play with the Chicago Blackhawks, but he also played for the Winnipeg Jets and the defunct Hartford Whalers. He led the Chicago Blackhawks to a Stanley Cup in 1961. He was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1983. He was certainly a great player. He really was. He was one of the best. There's a picture circulating today of Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe in a Hartford Whalers uniform. It's pretty cool. But, you know, not often do you have a situation where a great player such as Bobby Hull, would have a child enter the sport and the same sport and do well. But his son, Brett Hull, also played pro hockey. He played with the St. Louis Blues, the Dallas Stars, and a few other teams, and has two Stanley Cups to his credit. So what a great father and son talent. And I'm sure Hank Jones will be covering this on Wednesday. So rest in peace, Bobby Hull. What a great player. Absolute legend. And I know the people of Chicago absolutely love him. Good evening, Sue. Nice to see you. Sue from New Mexico. Australian Open ended this past weekend, and Novak Djokovic won his 10th Australian Open. This guy is awesome. Despite the world global cabal and seeking to restrict, you know, Djokovic's ability to earn a living, Djokovic stayed true to his belief. He was allowed to return to Australian Open this year after being shunned by Australia, as he's being shunned by the United States of America, thanks to the radicalism of the extremist in the White House, Joe Biden. But Djokovic entered the Australian Open this year, and he was seeded number 4. And he did his job. He won to advance to the quarterfinals, number 4 ranked in the Australian Open. He won to advance to the semifinals. He wins his semifinal match and he advances to the finals. And in the end, he won in the finals, beating Steph Tsitsipas in straight sets, 6-3, 7-6, 7-6. It was Djokovic's 22nd career Grand Slam, his 10th Australian Open. And sadly, the Australian Prime Minister didn't have the class to attend. As they've done in the past, but Prime Minister Anthony Albanese of Australia, I'm sure, did not like the idea of Djokovic playing. He had been denied entry into Australia the last 2 years because apparently Djokovic is not vaccinated. So the global cabal, you know, attacks on unvaccinated for their plandemic, but got to give credit to Djokovic. He held firm. He stood his ground, and the guy's a class act, not to mention it. He'll go down as one of the greatest tennis players of all time. 10 Australian Opens. That is absolutely outstanding. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs will square off at the Super Bowl. Gets us in a couple of weeks. They won their respective divisions, AFC division, Kansas City Chiefs, NFC division, Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles beat the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm not sure who Kansas City played, but I think they played the Bengals. So, watch that. Interesting development in the past few days. The third largest egg producer plant suddenly caught fire. Now, egg prices have been skyrocketing over the past year, and coincidentally, there's now a fire at the third largest egg farm in the United States. 100,000 chickens were killed. True story. Did happen. Eggs are becoming a precious commodity. So one has to wonder, though, was there foul play at the egg plant? At the egg plant. Get it? Foul play? All right. Fell flat. That was a foul joke, and I apologize. I just had to say it, though. Hey, when Al's not here, I can say things like that. CNN, the DNC CNN, gets a big, fat raspberry. The DNC CNN, you know, I'm tired of hearing about the so-called mainstream media when you talk about ABC, CBS, NBC, you know, MSNBC, you know, cable news network, DNC, CNN. CNN runs a cartoon depicting Jews celebrating Passover Seder amid a sea of blood. Now, the constant and chronic attacks on Israel by the left wing in America is absolutely a disgrace. And DNC CNN once again proves how despicable of a station they are. Now, apparently AT&T did sell off CNN, And of course, AT&T now is creating controversy on their DirecTV for discontinuing Newsmax. They discontinued OAN last year, Newsmax this year, and I'm sure they're going to probably get Fox News next because it's about censoring conservatives. But back to CNN, their despicable anti-Semitic cartoon is shameful from a shameless left-wing rag. And you wonder why CNN, DNC CNN is in decline? This is it. So from Jihad Watch, if CNN needs to flirt with anti-Semitic tropes in order to report on controversial Israeli Prime Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, what does that say about the network? In an article dated January 25th, 2023, 2 days ago, oh, sorry, 5 days ago, as Israel bans Palestinian flags, one artist protests with his brush. CNN's Abir Salman seemed to go out of her way not to just include ahistorical swipes at the Jewish state, but also in borrowing from centuries of anti-Semitic blood libels, associate the holiday of Passover with Jews benefiting from the shedding of blood of non-Jews. Really, I'm surprised that Abir Salman doesn't talk about the shedding of Christian blood in Nigeria on a daily basis. The shedding of Christian blood in Lahore, Pakistan, at the hands of Islamic terrorists. And the same goes in Nigeria. Thousands of Christians exterminated at the hands of Islamic terror. Now, where is that depiction of blood? No, no. Yet CNN Abir Salman seemed to go out of her way not just include ahistorical swipes at the Jewish state, but also borrowing from centuries of anti-Semitic blood libels, associate the holiday of Passover with Jews benefiting from the shedding of blood of non-Jews. The focus of the article is a portrait by the largely unknown far-left Israeli cartoonist Michael Rosenoff, who goes by Mish, that portrays Ben-Gvir in colors of the Palestinian flag. The portrait followed Ben-Gvir's controversial decision to order police to remove Palestinian flags from public spaces. Jeez, why not? Such is Mish's significance and the attention that Ben-Gvir, Gvir portrait drew that dozens of Israelis, of Israel's 9.3 million citizens, also asked him to draw their portraits in the colors. Meanwhile, Ben-Gvir's decision was widely criticized by much of the rest of Israeli society, including editorials in the newspaper. However, CNN and Salman did not limit themselves to publishing a puff piece on a far-left cartoonist lampooning a controversial minister. Instead, they inexplicably included a cartoon recalling the multiple anti-Semitic themes as well as unchallenged ahistorical commentary depicting Israel as needlessly cruel. Of course, they don't talk about the rockets and missiles that are launched into the state of Israel, okay, by Hamas, the cowards of Hamas, large rockets and missiles from schools, from nurseries, okay, from hospitals, because that's what the cowards do. Thanks for posting the link in the chat room, Big. I appreciate that. Giving Mish the benefit of the doubt that perhaps his work is simply being misinterpreted becomes less tenable the more one investigates the rest of his work. And while Salman included background on Mish in her story, she seems to have been curiously incurious about the glancing, though, through his easily accessible and public availability portfolio of cartoons. For example, another cartoon explicably used the anti-Semitic Passover blood libel depicting Palestinians being crushed to death between two pieces of matzah as blood pours out. So, you know, the left wing in America, has no problem in denigrating Israel, denigrating Israelis. So I have still have no idea why American Jews continue to support the Democrat Party, which is not democratic. There is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. So check out the story in Jihad Watch. Also check it out on bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and Big put the link in the chat room. You know, this weekend, or this past week, you may have been following that new Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, removed several Democrats from key committee assignments. And three in particular got their feelings hurt and now are on a victim tour. They include the liar from California, Adam Schiff. And remember, Adam Schiff was telling one lie after another. He just certainly despised Donald Trump, but he's not a credible man. He goes on these DNC Sunday talk shows, and he spews garbage. And he's nothing but a partisan hack. Adam Schiff is the same individual who settled a sexual harassment lawsuit with the male intern using taxpayer-funded money to the point that taxpayers don't know how much the settlement was for. But that's the kind of deviant he is. And then, of course, there's Eric Fangfang Swalwell, who is another member who was removed from committee. His committee assignment was indeed stripped. Aww. I mean, I know that kind of pains everybody, but Eric Swalwell, whose political career in California was launched by, or I should say his congressional career was launched by the communist Chinese spy, Fangfang, hence the name Eric Fangfang Swalwell. But of course, these two individuals show no shame because their particular objective is to insert radical left-wing anti-constitutional edicts. They follow the marching orders of Nancy Pelosi while she was speaker. And there's really no accountability for their actions, sleeping with a Chinese spy, having launched your career by a Chinese spy, a communist Chinese spy, by the way. And then you've got Adam Schiff, who basically is a chronic liar, but there's no accountability for his actions. And then the third person, of course, is one of the biggest victims of all, and that would be Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, ever the victim. That poor woman from Mogadishu has had a problem with the command of the English language. At least that was the excuse that had been given by a former Speaker of the House, the corrupt Nancy Pelosi. So for those of you who may not know, Ilhan Omar is a member of the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. And once again, there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Omar is a member of the radical anti-Semitic, anti-constitutional team known as the Squad, a group of radical left-wing women in Congress. Rashida Mother-Effer Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and of course the charming AOC. Antonia Cortez out of New York. Omar, Democrat from Mogadishu, is having a hissy fit, and she's conducting her victim tour. And of course, the left-wing DNC-controlled media is affording her that platform. And remember, it was Ilhan Omar who stated that some people may have done something. Remember Ilhan Omar? Some people may have done something concerning the 9/11 Islamic terror attack undertaken by 19 Islamic jihadists funded by Saudi Arabia. Some people may have done something. That's a chilling statement to make, considering that some people did a lot. 19 Muslim men, your Muslim brothers, your devout fundamental brethren, attacked the United States of America on September 11th. And you refer to the event, the attack, the Islamic terror attack, as being, some people may have done something.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
Her own words, that some people may have did something. And now, as a result of some people having done something in the United States House, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, he removed her from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. 9/11, 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia attacked America. Many of us witnessed the planes being flown into the Twin Towers in New York City, America's financial center. The Twin Towers, symbolism of world trade. And some people did something, Ilhan. Those were the words of Ilhan Omar. Some people may have done something. Those are your words, Ilhan. She never apologized for those words. She's only excused her Islamic brothers for the jihad attack on America. And jihad, as defined in The Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik, page 599, Sharia. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Four simple words, to war against non-Muslims. Not our words, Ilhan. Those are the words of your brethren of the Islamic scholars, the word of Allah. Some people may have done something. Those were Ilhan's words. Poor Ilhan Omar, a devout fundamental Muslim, is ever the victim because the anti-Semitic fundamentalist was removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Yesterday, Ilhan Omar continued her victim tour on DNC-CNN's Sunday morning show. Ilhan now spewing her Islamic dawah. While on the DNC-CNN show, she stated she wasn't aware that there were anti-Semitic tropes regarding Jews and money when she made the comments that had been cited by Speaker McCarthy as the main reason she was ousted from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I guess it took her probably 6 years to come up with this type of an excuse. 6 years that she was waiting to use this as an excuse, okay, that she wasn't aware of that there were anti-Semitic tropes regarding Jews and money. So first we were told at the time when she made that anti-Semitic statement that Ilhan Omar didn't have command of the English language. So what was she doing running for Congress? Better yet, what is she doing even in Congress at the time? And then she was also voting on bills and legislation. If she doesn't have command of the English language, we don't need another retard in the House of Representatives or in government for that matter. So Ilhan Omar is full of crap when she uses the excuse that she wasn't aware they were anti-Semitic tropes regarding Jews and money. It's not just a figure of speech to attack Israel and the Jews. Omar's activism, along with Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib and their work with the BDS movement, you know, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, is a Palestinian-led movement to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Omar, along with Tlaib and others, have been active in the BDS movement for over 5 years while in Congress. And I found this from 2019. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Elliot Engel, Democrat from New York, has so far resisted Republican call to kick Omar off the panel. But he has previously accused Omar of invoking a vile anti-Semitic slur after she said, "I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it's okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country." Her remarks prompted the House to pass another non-binding resolution condemning anti-Semitism and Islamophobia 407-23. In 2019, a House committee was to vote on an anti-BDS resolution introduced by Representative Bradley Scheider of Illinois, a Democrat, and Representative Lee Zeldin of New York, a Republican. In 2019, a House committee was to vote on an anti-BDS resolution. Now, if you heard that, here's the next part. Ilhan Omar's lone voice of opposition marks an end to years of bipartisan precedent that allows similar legislation to sail through both the House and the Senate unopposed. So don't tell us that you didn't know that there was a trope. You didn't know what you were talking about. You didn't know what you were saying. Ilhan Omar has an anti-Israel venom, and it's inbred as a devout fundamental Muslim. Omar's lone voice of opposition marks an end to years of bipartisan precedent that allows similar legislation to sail through both the House and the Senate unopposed. The lone voice was in opposition to an anti-BDS resolution. Why? Because Omar despises Israel. Omar is an anti-Semite. So all of this noise about her being a victim, once again, is hogwash. Once again, it's from a dishonest woman. A woman who married her brother and defrauded U.S. immigration. Defrauded the United States of America. Several campaign finance violations, including funneling over $1 million to her husband, not her brother, husband. A marketing firm. A political marketing firm that was assisting her. $1 million of campaign funds. I believe Kareem Brown of Florida went to jail for raising over $800,000 for her foundation, which she was supposedly giving scholarships to children, and it turned out they found that she gave like $1,200 or $1,400 in scholarships of the $800,000. The rest was given to family and friends. Yeah. So suddenly Ilhan Omar has an epiphany. She didn't know her words concerning Israel were anti-Semitic. She's a devout fundamental Muslim who hates Jews and Israel, and she wants us to believe she doesn't have command of the English language. Omar is an active member of the BDS movement in America, and she now wants us to believe she didn't understand? That's absolute hogwash. So here is Omar with her victim tour. It's only a little less than 45 seconds, maybe even be less than that, on our victim tour yesterday.
What did you learn? A lot. I certainly did not or was not aware that the word hypnotize was a trope. I wasn't aware of the fact that there are tropes about Jews and money.
She wasn't aware. I might have used words at the time that I didn't understand were trafficking anti-Semitism. Oh, like your support of PBS, okay? Like your hatred for Israel. She goes on and says, when that was brought to my attention, I apologized. I owned up to it. Oh, really? Here, you want to hear how she apologized? Here, this is how Ilhan Omar apologized when she found out.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
That was the clip posted Monday.
Yeah, that was Ilhan Omar. That's how she apologized. Not only did she not apologize, she doubled down on the Benjamin issue and slapping Israel, slapping the Jewish state, slapping Jewish organizations. It's okay that the Muslim Brotherhood infuses tens of millions of dollars into elections here in the United States and they buy Democrat Party members. It's okay that the Muslim Brotherhood lobbies and throws millions of dollars to candidates like Maxwell, whatever his name is, that was just elected down in Florida. It's okay. All of a sudden, Israel is a problem because of their lobbying, and the Muslim Brotherhood is not. I don't see Israel coming up with a Sharia type law to supplant the U.S. Constitution. I owned up to it. That's the kind of person that I am. And I continue to work with my colleagues in my community to fight against anti-Semitism. I certainly did not or was not aware that the word hypnotized was a trope. I wasn't aware of the fact that there were tropes about Jews and money. That is absolute hogwash. That is a flat-out lie. That has been a very enlightening part of the journey. You notice how now it gets to be a woke, you know, it gets to be now a kumbaya movement. That has been a very enlightening part of this journey. To insinuate that I knowingly said these things when people have read into my comments to make it sound as if I have something against the Jewish community is so wrong, she claimed. Suddenly, okay, people came up and suddenly they just created this. I bet she knows the Quran. I bet she studied the Quran. Do not take Jews and Nasara as your friends. Okay? I'm sure she knows the Quran as a devout fundamental Islamist. And once again, she decides that she's going to sanitize the issue because now she's the victim. To insinuate that I knowingly said these things, when people have read into my comments, to make it sound as if I have something against the Jewish community is so wrong, she exclaimed, she claimed, she proclaimed, she whined. She didn't realize the word hypnotized was a trope. You know, spare us your lies and your victimhood status. And she sits next to one of the biggest Democrat Party liars, Adam Schiff, while she's saying this. Omar didn't realize the words were tropes, so she then goes to Hamas care function, and she utters, some people may have done something. And maybe Omar didn't understand the word something was a trope. Well, the removal from committee assignments is the prerogative of the Speaker of the House of the majority party. And remember, it's the majority party who assigns the committee assignments. Unlike Nancy Pelosi, McCarthy is holding Omar accountable for her hate. And remember, it was Nancy Pelosi who excused Ilhan Omar's comments by stating, well, she doesn't have command of the English language. Now, victim Omar now thinks it's racist and xenophobic for being removed from the committee. So she covered all the woke bases, all the left-wing Marxist bases. She covered racism. She covered victimhood. And then she covered xenophobic. And I'm sure she was throwing Islamophobic as well. And this is the type of individual that she is. There is no remorse for her for her past deeds. It doesn't matter because they've been done. That's why she makes a good Democrat. You don't apologize for what you did. You just kind of deflect. And now you go on the offensive. First off, Islam is not a race. So now when she uses the racist card, just know that Islam's not a race. And of course, in typical left-wing Marxist nature, you make sure you include the words racism and xenophobic when playing the victim card, and it's exactly what Ilhan Omar has done. The 9/11 denier, Ilhan Omar, is playing the victim. Omar is a chronic and habitual liar. CARE was not formed after 9/11. Did you catch that first part when CARE was founded?
CARE was founded after 9/11.
Okay, so that's a flat-out lie, and maybe she got her tropes mixed up. And once again, this particular speech came after the Benjamin controversy, her anti-Semitic Benjamin remarks. And that's how she doubled down on it. But they're hoping that you and I forget all this. And now the target is going after Speaker Kevin McCarthy, which I'm really surprised that he actually had the intestinal fortitude to do it. Remove Omar, remove Swalwell, or remove Schiff from committee assignments. Very impressed by that. I didn't think he had it in him. It's still early. Okay, it's still early, but I didn't think he had it in him. But Omar is going to be the chronic habitual victim. CARE was founded in 1994, ladies and gentlemen, as the U.S. government was in the process of shutting down Islamic terror supporting Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP. CARE was not formed after 9/11. Now, if this woman doesn't have command of the English language, she shouldn't be serving in the United States House of Representatives. Especially after she married her brother to defraud U.S. immigration laws. But the fact is she is in Congress. So let's hold her accountable for her misinformation, for her disinformation. CARE was not formed after 9/11. It was formed in 1994 as the U.S. government was in the process of shutting down Islamic supporting terror groups such as the Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP. The sad part of this, two key individuals of the Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP, Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad, simply basically just walked across the street in D.C. and hung a shield called the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, CARE. Why the U.S. government didn't throw these two individuals in jail or deport them back to Palestine is another one for the books. So, Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad start CARE in 1994, not after 9/11 2001, in 1994, 7 years earlier. It's just sad that the U.S. government didn't shut down all the members of the IAP who are helping to carry out the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum. And what's the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum? The Muslim Brotherhood explanatory memorandum is the plan of action for the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam in America. And yes, there is a plan of action. This document, the explanatory memorandum, was uncovered by the FBI in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia. And it's the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups. Their front groups like the Islamic Association for Palestine, like the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, like the Islamic Society of America, like the Muslim Student Association, like the Congressional Staffers Association. And it reads, The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process. With all the world being, what all the word means is the equine, the brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. So congratulations to Speaker McCarthy for removing, at least for now, the within from the Foreign Affairs Committee. The Muslim Brotherhood is a kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. Why is she even on the House Foreign Affairs Committee? Why does she even have any type of security clearance? It's bad enough that she defrauded the U.S. immigration system by marrying her brother, a devout fundamental Muslim who adheres to the Muslim Brotherhood explanatory memorandum. So an anti-Semitic Israel Jew-hating devout Muslim who denies that 9/11 attack on America ever took place because it's protecting and defending her fellow Muslims is now the victim. We saw Nancy Pelosi, the corrupt former speaker, excuse and cover up for her fellow anti-constitutionalist over and over. And it was Nancy Pelosi who, while speaker, stated that Ilhan didn't have command of the English language. And that we were supposed to be okay with that after the anti-Semitic Omar went on her anti-Israel, Jew-hating, anti-Semitic rant. Ilhan Omar is a member of the destructive Democrat Party, so it was incumbent upon Nancy Pelosi to protect her fellow left-wing radicals. And remember, the corrupt Nancy Pelosi and her fellow Democrats have no ethics, they have no morals, and they certainly have no standards. The only standards the destructive Democrat Party have and maintain is the hatred for President Donald Trump, despising conservatives, and they detest the U.S. Constitution. And by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party leaders intentionally avoiding holding Ilhan Omar accountable for her actions, we now get this victimhood status being played over and over now. It's now racist to remove a 9/11 denier from the Foreign Affairs Committee. It's xenophobic to have a woman who defrauded the U.S. immigration by marrying her brother accountable. No accountability. However, this is the Democrat Marxist Party playbook. Remain on the offense, even when in the minority, as they are today. Adam Schiff, Eric Fangfang, Swalwell are all employing the very same tactic. And one thing is for sure, Ilhan Omar is not an honest woman, but she is certainly no victim. And I'm sure she'll continue to play that race card. She'll continue to play that victim card. You know, it's absolutely disgusting for these individuals. It really is. Now she doesn't understand. Now she didn't really have an understanding. So let me see. She probably doesn't have an understanding of a 4,000-page, $1.7 trillion spending spree. If that's the case, the bill should be rescinded. I'm sure she doesn't have an understanding of 87,000 new IRS agents being added to the public dole, funded by the American taxpayer. So since Ilhan Omar doesn't have an understanding of the English language, it's time to rescind those bills that she voted on and passed. And don't fall for this nonsense, this slogan now by Swalwell, Schiff, and Omar that they will defend our democracy. Okay? They're a cancer on our republic. And we shouldn't have to tolerate this type of anti-constitutionalism, this type of anti-Americanism. Ilhan Omar got what she deserved, and that was removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee, and rightly so. The Iquamas understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. It's bad enough that Joe Biden and the Obama regime who are sitting behind him are destroying our constitutional republic. We don't need Omar either. Play a little song here and since restore my voice a little bit and get a little something to drink. So we'll be back here in a couple of minutes and we'll play a little bit. Who do we want to play here? Take a little bit of a break. And I know I got a nice one here. Ah, you know what? I know what to play. Sue. So. Be back in about 3 minutes, folks.
Thank you.
you doing? Hope you enjoyed it. That was Dire Straits, Walk of Life. And that goes out to Sue from New Mexico. Victimhood Act number two, Joe Biden. You know, here's a man who is a walking, meaningless cliche. This reckless fraud, 50 years in the U.S. government, he has nothing to show for it except being installed as president of the United States. Joe Biden is a corrupt and certainly not a transparent man. And his regime is anything but transparent. And it was evident again over the weekend when he was walking out of the White House, or the press was asking him questions, and he's got no idea about the special prosecutor. Has no idea. He never has an idea. You know, he never knows. You know, useful idiot, you know, pleads willful ignorance. Has no idea. Of course, he can't take questions, you know, whereas President Trump could take 30 minutes and answer each and every reporter's question. Joe Biden continues to have amnesia. But, you know, it's fine because Joe Biden is an anti-constitutionalist. Joe Biden is a Marxist. Most of all, Joe Biden is the wicked man. The wicked man is described in Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19. The wicked man, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with perverse mouth. He winks his eyes. He shuffles his feet. And boy, doesn't he shuffle his feet? He points with his fingers. Remember at podiums, just listen to his conferences. When the dementia is pushed aside, he starts pointing his finger. Perversity is in his heart. Just look at the pictures of groping young girls and women. He devises evil continually, as he's done just in the past week. He sows discord, as he continues to do. Therefore, his calamity shall overcome suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. The wicked man, a proud look, a lying tongue. Talk about a lying tongue. If that's not accurate in describing the wicked man, Joe Biden, I don't know what is. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 19, aptly describes Joe Biden. Of course, earlier this month on, I believe it was January the 7th, a 29-year-old man, Tyree Nichols, was stopped by police for reckless driving. And after a brief confrontation, Mr. Nichols tried fleeing the scene on foot. And if you've seen the video, which I'm sure many people have, the way he was manhandled to get out of the vehicle, never given an opportunity to cease and desist, it's appalling what Nichols had gone through. Five members of the Memphis police force chased him down and beat him. He was brutally beaten so badly on January 7th that he needed hospitalization. And sadly, 3 days following January 7th, Tyree Nichols died on January 10th, dying from injuries sustained by the beating. The officer's own body cam shows the beating was indeed brutal. Now, Tyree Nichols is black. The five police officers are also black. And yet, the left wing in America wants to make this about racism. This from the Patriot Post on January 27th by Nate Jackson. Nichols was a black man killed by police. The media has played up his death as driven by racism. Yet all five Memphis Police Department officers involved were also black. Indeed, most Memphis cops are black, and their chief is a black woman. Now, today, a sixth officer was fired, removed from duty, and he is a white man, so I'm sure he's going to be on the brunt of this. But this is written prior to the sixth individual being fired from the Memphis Police Department. Nevertheless, Joe Biden's Social Justice Department has launched a civil rights probe under Section 242 of the Federal Penal Code. Specifically, that code prohibits law enforcement officers from discriminatory behavior on the basis of color or race. Is Team Biden really arguing that five black men killed another black man based upon the color of his skin? Not really. Instead, it boils down to the fact that the assailants in the case were cops. And Democrats have a big problem with cops that they find the political advantage in perpetuating. To the point, Biden said in a statement, and this is the sick part of it, okay? This, by all accounts, is a reprehensible statement by a president of the United States. You know, President Trump was excoriated for Charlottesville when his comments were taken out of context. Now, I don't know how much more damage a Joe Biden needs to do, but this statement that was released is reprehensible. Here's what Biden said yesterday. Tyree's death is a painful reminder that we must do more to ensure that our criminal justice system lives up to the promise of fair and impartial justice, equal treatment, and dignity for all. Excuse me, that was not the statement. I apologize. That was not the statement. Let me find the correct statement. I went to the wrong page. That is my bad. There it is. Let me just read it to you. Give me a second. Okay. So this is what Biden released for a statement. He was outraged and deeply pained after seeing the video. It's yet another painful reminder of the profound fear and trauma, the pain and the exhaustion that black and brown Americans experience every single day. Now, if that's not a Marxist statement, I don't know what is. That is nothing more than left-wing propaganda. I mean, to make a statement like that actually falls within the Saul Alinsky Marxist mission number 11. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. And Biden is pushing a negative in Saul Alinsky's method for rules for radicals. To sit there and say that the black and brown Americans experience this every single day, it's another painful reminder of the profound fear and trauma, the pain. Why doesn't he say this about what's happening in Chicago? And every weekend, 10, 15, 20, 17, 8, 9 people are killed. Where? Huh? Why doesn't the wicked man make that a system, huh? If he truly was a healer, if he truly was a uniter, Biden is not a good man. He's a wicked. He's a liar. His words do not build unity. Communist strategy is to hijack the Nichols case, not look at the root cause, but to use emotion to agitate, to instigate, and to organize. And communists are good at organizing and employing propaganda and prancing out their propagandists just as they've done with Joe Biden. Biden's comments were reprehensible and they were divisive. He is not a uniter. He's a divider. And I'm going to bring on caller right now, the Viking, to add insult to injury. Good evening, Holger. Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're solo
you
tonight.
Yeah. Al's out on assignment, so I've been here pulling double duty.
You're doing a fine job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I had to just touch base on the what you're just talking about with this, the Nichols case and so forth, and I have figured out a way to stop all of the riots, stop all of the protests, stop all of the chatter on Twitter and all of the media reports, and all the ugliness can go away. If you'd like to hear it.
I would. You got me on the edge of my seat now.
Well, now, it's probably unlikely, but you never know, that Mr. Nichols may have voted for Donald Trump in 2020. Now, if that were the case, Joe Biden was very explicit a couple years ago when he stated that any black person that was for Trump wasn't really black. So if Mr. Nichols voted for Trump, then obviously he's not a black man. So this would just be another case of police beating and killing a white man. And nobody would care. There you go.
That summed it right up.
It's all solved. when you talk about this statement from Biden and the total hypocrisy of it, the condescension of this, I mean, it's just, he trots a whole race of people out like they're, some ad campaign,
Yes.
And, it's kind of like the Nancy Pelosi, trotting out the black people when they want to fight voter ID. Oh, those people are too stupid to have IDs. It's just comical how these guys get away with this stuff. But, here's Joe Biden, 2 years ago says that if black people don't vote for him, they're not really black. And now he comes back and now he's going to speak for all the black and brown people. And, it's just crazy. How they get away with it is simple, I guess, is because the media is never there to check what they actually have to say. They're not there to shine a spotlight on the hypocrisy and on the condescension and on the ridicule and so forth. So,
well, they are there. The media is, but they're of the same political influence. They have the same political ideology and leanings. And we can look back and we could cite so many cases, okay, at this point. But when you look back at how the double standard exists now, Charlottesville, President Trump got raked through the coals and they misused and they actually took his words out of context. So when you read the actual transcripts of what President Trump stated after the Charlottesville incident, there was nothing racist about his statement. But now you look at what Joe Biden says on a regular basis, and it doesn't matter if it's race-related, which he shows that he's clearly a racist and has been, okay, to this particular commentary that he gives. Okay, this particular statement that he makes, and the statement that he makes, okay, to then use, as you correctly said, is using the black race as a weapon, okay, and that's what makes it reprehensible, because he is not a uniter, he's a divider, and as long as they can put forth a left-wing ideology. This is exactly what he was installed to do. He's got absolutely zero emotions, okay? He has no idea what he's saying half the time. Again, he forgets, that who his Secretary of Defense is. He can't even pronounce the word Secretary of Defense. And somebody needs to put it on a teleprompter once again, maybe in big letters, that it's Lloyd Austin is the Secretary of Defense. But he didn't even know that. And yet there's no accountability for this feckless fraud's misstatements, for his misinformation, and his gross disinformation. You know, the commentary to state that black and brown people experience this every single day. Oh, really? So the videos that we see of black and brown people, you know, rummaging through and stealing from, I don't know, from Walgreens in San Francisco, which led to Walgreens closing stores in San Francisco because somehow black and brown people think it's okay to steal from the store and not have any consequences for it. And now we have to run on this racial divide, because it's exactly what Marxists want. They want us to say, oh, did you see the black people, you know, robbing from a Walgreens? This is exactly what they want. They want this division. And yet you got the Philadelphia Flyers defenseman who says, I respect everybody. Just respect my right, okay, my practice as a Russian Orthodox, my religion. But there's no respect, and it's exactly what Marxism wants. They want to remove respect from society, and we're seeing it each and every day. And then you've got this propagandist like Joe Biden exploiting a tragedy. And then you got CNN running with things like, but this is stolen. This is racism by the Memphis Police Department was racist. Do you know there were five black officers that pulled over a black man for reckless driving? And from the outset, though, I got to say, the person's color is irrelevant at this point. The way they grabbed that man, Tyree Nichols, out of the car was just, maybe he was resisting, but you know what? Once you had him on the ground and he stopped resisting, that's where it should have ended. And you should have let the guy talk, and they didn't. Now, is this a product of the hate on the left?
Let me just jump in there, because I, you know, typically, you know, especially after George Floyd, you know, happening right here in Minneapolis, you know, the last thing I want to do is, you know, turn any attention onto this thing. But I actually watched the video, you know, and videos. And, mm-hmm. you know, here's the deal, because you and I have got a different point of view on this, okay? So I guess what I want to point out is this, is, you know, for anybody out there, you know, you could, whatever qualms you have with law enforcement, whatever bad history you've got with cops, whatever, when a cop tells you to do something, you do it. I mean, you just do it. They've got a gun, you don't. They got cuffs, you don't. They got mace, you don't. Okay? And so when this kid, you know, is in this car and he's smart mouthing and he's not doing what they're saying, when they tell him to get out of the car and put stuff down and all that, when, you know, you got to understand, Vito, in a cop's mind, they are always, the number one thing that they're looking for is this kid is going to try and run. He's going to try to get away. He's going to grab for my gun, or he's going to try and hit me, or he's going to try and get away. So when he grabbed him out of the car, if you notice in that video, that one officer keeps telling him, get on the ground. And he says, I'm on the ground. But he's sitting up, and he says, on your belly, on your face. They have to get him into that position, because then they can't run. When he's sitting there, all he's got to do is hop, and he can take off, which he did. Mm-hmm. Which he did. That the reason they want him fat, flat on his belly is because they didn't want him to get away like he did. Now, I'm not excusing what happened in the end result, but all I'm saying is once you run away from the cops, you are up Schitt's Creek. okay? Because now you've gone from having police officers frustrated with getting you arrested to just totally pissing them off. Totally pissing them off. So, that's just a different take. I guess what I'm saying is that this happens all the time. That there's the police officers are so aware that criminal, that person's intent is going to be to get out of there. And if let me wrap this part up with when you look back at Rodney King, that video, they could not get that guy down. I mean, it's a police officer's job is to subdue somebody. If they're going to arrest them, they can't just go, well, we asked him to get down on his belly, but he won't, so we're just going to let him go. Let him walk away. Yeah, well, see you. Good night. They got to get the person under control. In some cases, they've got to put handcuffs on them. They've got to put them in a car. I mean, they could not get Rodney King down. They weren't beat. I don't personally think they were beating Rodney King because he was black or he was an asshole or whatever. They were beating him because they couldn't get him to comply. They couldn't get him down on the ground. And this kid, I'll just leave it with this. If he would have laid down on his face flat out on the pavement, more than likely he'd be alive today.
And you're not going to get an argument. You and I agree on that. What I want to do is I want to take it away from that emotion part of it, that part of it there, because this is a result. And if we can go back to really to the time that we all know best, 2009. We can go back to 2009 when one president said the police acted stupidly. And
yep.
Then we had this famous, infamous beer summit. But the damage was done, okay? That's what started it. And, we can look at the actual event that happened, but why not? Let's look back at why. Why is this happening? Why is it okay to resist a police officer? When you have this movement afoot in America by the left wing, by the Marxists, to defund police, then malign police, berate police on a regular basis, you've got activists like attorneys throwing Molotov cocktails inside of police cars. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. The police officer is a human being, and he takes an oath to uphold law and order so that we can have somewhat of a civil society. You said it. How difficult is it when a police officer says stop? Why don't you just stop? When you get pulled over from a police officer for speeding, and you know you were going 5 miles or 10 miles over the speed limit, okay? You don't have to be a dick to the police officer. You find out what the issue is. But on a daily basis, law enforcement has to put up with people being vile to them on a daily basis. And at some point in time, things just snap. And I get it. I really do. I've got family members who are police officers. I get it. I understand why they feel the way they do. But this whole thing in society today since 2009 is a product of this Marxist socialist movement to make and to demonize police officers and law enforcement. And all he had to do, all George Floyd had to do was stop. Stop. How difficult is it to understand why the Marxists now have demonized law enforcement? And all law enforcement is doing is upholding the rule of law. You know what? Isn't that the Democrat Party cliche, the rule of law? Oh, the rule of law. How many times have we heard that cliche ad nauseum? Oh, Barack Obama, the rule of law. Joe Biden, the rule of law. Nancy Pelosi, the rule of law. Okay, so now we have American citizens who want to go into law enforcement and become police officers, and all they're doing is enforcing the rule of law. You're driving down the street, the speed limit's 55, you get pulled over doing 72. Why is the cop a dick? Please tell me why. Why do you have to be confrontational with the police officer? Ma'am, sir, you were doing 72 and a 55. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden you get your confident attitude. And now there's confrontation. Why? You know what? You know what, officer? I was in a rush. I'm sorry. Sometimes an officer will let you off. Others will give you a ticket. How many times have you heard from your friend saying, you know, I was doing 80 and a 55, and the cop gave me a ticket for doing 70 and a 55? He saved me $400. Okay, so now this guy is a good guy who is a bad guy because he pulled me over because I was speeding. And I know that's not a beating or such, but you know what? It's gotten to the point now, Walter, one last point. It's gotten to the point where we're not asking why. We're now consumed with this, oh, the police officer this. No, you know what? This is the product of Maxine Waters, of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, okay, of Joe Biden, all going after law enforcement in the United States. And now law enforcement's the bad guy. And every day, each and every day, we see videos of people robbing stores, okay, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in downtown New York, to the point where these companies like Walgreens, like CVS, are closing stores in the cities because of unruly, okay, of thieves. Now, people have zero respect for the rule of law. And now it's an opportune time to once again go after law enforcement. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's important that you look at the reason why Maxine Waters did that. There's a reason why Barack Obama did that. It's to further, you just talked about the Marxist agenda. It's about furthering the Marxist agenda. It's just another tool for them. I mean, Maxine Waters and Barack Obama, I mean, show me his big ties to the black community in his lifetime. I mean, this guy spent more time with white folk than most white folk do. And so Barack Obama, you just, you know, read the quote that, you know, that policemen acted stupidly. Well, he's stirring it up. He's not letting a crisis go to waste politically. That's all these people think about is politically. They don't care about human beings. They don't care about people getting abused or what, you know, whatever. Every thought they have is politically motivated. So when Barack Obama stepped in to the Ferguson, Missouri situation with the killing of the guy by the white cop,
Michael Brown,
Barack Obama waded in and stirred up the whole damn nest and basically set the country on fire. And voila, what, 3 months later, there just happens to be a new organization in America called Black Lives Matter. You know, it becomes one of the biggest political tools the left has had for years, all created because of Barack Obama getting into the middle of things. And he did it over and over again. He did it with Trayvon Martin. He did it with, oh, he could be my son. You know, he over and over again, he injected himself into these things, claiming because he's black, but actually because he's a Marxist with an agenda. And if he could set the country on fire, it's going to help his cause. Joe Biden's the same way. Joe Biden, all he cares about is the fact that he had zero chance to win the Democrat nomination for president until he got to South Carolina, when miraculously every black person in the state voted for Joe. You know, they shunned Kamala because, well, she's probably not really black. I think she's Jamaican. So they all voted for Joe because Joe's like the first black president we've ever had. But, you know, Biden is absolutely doing exactly what his little mentor, Barack Obama, did, and that's making this all political. And they leveraged the police thing. You know, they used that tool until they finally got enough pushback where they had to back off on it. you know, on the defund the police and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It finally got bad enough where they finally had to back down a little bit. So you're right in the fact that what we end up dealing with is just this aftermath of the people of this country being used by politicians again. And I mean, let's face it, politicians in this country, these leftists in America, are absolutely masters at pushing our buttons. They know how to get us riled up. They know how to put us to sleep. They know how to get us to riot. They know all the tricks of the trade of motivating and controlling the population. And I mean, they just, a couple of bells here and a couple of whistles there, and boy, we're just like a herd of sheep lined up, you know, on two sides of the river. One side's going, ah, police are, you know, killed another black, and on the other side they're going, oh, you know, I support the blue. You know, it's just constantly, you know. It's like Pride Night at the Rangers game. You know, that what's that all about? I mean, there were probably more Sikhs from Singapore in the building that night than there were homosexuals. You know, it wasn't national, you know, Sikh night. You know, Sikh Pride Night. It was Gay Pride Night because it drives a wedge. They love the headline when this player has the audacity to oppress poor gays in America. And by the way, look at he's actually from Russia too.
Yes. He shoots and scores. Huh.
Yeah.
But look, the issue, and I'm going to keep going back to it, and I'm going to keep beating this thing because we have to overcome this. And I don't know, you know, the left wing does it on a daily basis, but Obama is a product of two domestic terrorists, and that's Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground. And there is a doctrine that they wrote, a book that Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and one other individual wrote called Prairie Fire. And if you have an opportunity to read Prairie Fire, which is written, I believe, in 1967, you'll get an understanding of where of what Obama has employed. And they look at the United States as imperialistic, and racism is built into U.S. imperialism, and imperial culture feeds on and creates racism. Racism is institutionalized as a system of control and containment necessary to enforce the exploitation and oppression of colonized people. In the Third World, racism takes the form of cultural warfare and displacement of populations and genocide. Now, where have we heard this part? White race was pictured as pure and superior, and the black race is dirty, stupid, inevitable, inferior. The yellow race is shared in deception of cowardice. Everything great, everything's fine, everything really successful when human culture was white. Now, this is the mentality that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama brought into the White House. Of course, his upbringing with Frank Marshall Davis being a devout communist also aided and abetted that. But Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers are credited for launching Barack Hussein Satoru Obama's political career. And this is what he brought to the table. Every time you turn around, it's racism. And now what you do is you go after the police. And wasn't it Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers who killed a police officer? So they have utter contempt for law enforcement. And that's what we're seeing today. And it's despicable. It's a despicable act. And we have to sit here and we're subjected on a daily basis, okay, to watching the people abuse police officers. And now, okay, we expect police officers now to just kind of push it off to the side. And they want to root crime out. You know, they feel that their societies, okay, should be civil. But what's civil about breaking into stores? What's civil about walking into a store with a shopping bag and following up the, you know, your bag from items on the shelf and then walking out of the store and people just stand there and look at you? That's not acceptable. That's not a civil society.
Well, you know, I think Marxists, all Marxists have different ideas as to how to perform the takeover of America, you know, and a lot of them have bought into this current strategy, which is basically just let the country implode from the inside, you know, turn it politically and turn it through the woke movement and all this kind of good stuff. You know, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers were part of an organization, the Weathermen and the Weather Underground, who their strategy flat out, they believed that the only way that they could engineer the takeover of America with their Marxist ideas, the only way to do it was through violent revolution. And their strategy was to do that through a race war, literally a war in America between blacks and whites, would create the chaos, would create the situation. And these are the people that kicked off his campaign, Obama's campaign. I mean, people with that, you know, and I think you've heard that clip that I played many times on my show where the FBI had the guy inside of the Weather Underground, you know, where he said that they, you know, Bill Ayers and these guys sat around talking about what they're going to do with the 25 million Americans who won't buy into the communist way of life, and they basically said, well, we're going to have to take them out in the desert and kill them. 25 million people will have to be exterminated because they can't be retrained in the Maoist, Stalinist way of life. Okay? And these are the people that were Barack Obama's mentors and friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you recall, and I'll just make this my last statement because I've got to get off here for you. Back when Obama was running in 2008, Sean Hannity, God bless him, I can't stand the guy hardly, but, you know, he was like the only one to hammer home the relationship between Obama and Dorn and Ayers. He was the only one who picked up on it and had the balls to keep hammering. These are the people he is associated with, and Hannity was absolutely massacred for bringing that up, for exposing that, for taking that argument and all that kind of good stuff. But you're right. I mean, those two people, you know, we're going to kick off this campaign in our home on Friday night. Everybody, come join us. And these are people that were in an organization who bombed federal buildings, who killed a judge, who killed police officers. I mean, this was, you know, this wasn't, you know, even Black Lives Matter. These were hardcore, violent, communist terrorists.
Bango.
Helping to groom the next president of the United States. I mean, just my God. So does it really mystify you how Barack Obama, given the opportunity on 5, 6, 7 different occasions during his 8 years as president, got in the middle and stirred up racial division in this country?
Not at all. It's not surprising at all.
No.
Not surprising.
All right, bud, I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry it took so long.
Oh, no, thanks for the call, Hoger. Appreciate it. Appreciate you calling in. Save my
All
voice.
Right. Take care, bud.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
So, one last thing about the Tyre Nichols. I think Tyrese Nichols' mother was probably much more effective than any other politician when she stated that, I don't want us to burning up our city, tearing up our streets, because that's not what my son stood for. So for certain communist ringleaders, however, they will support a revolutionary movement that goes against the existing social and political order of things. And that's why it was so important that Barack Obama started the demonization of police. And that is why there's been this movement afoot that's been funded by George Soros to defund police. Importantly, Black Lives Matter is hardly the only such organization. Everyone points to Antifa, but Antifa is a new kid on the block. One of the worst exploiters and agitators is the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, RevCom. Now, I don't know if you all heard about that, but it would be worth looking into. The Revolutionary Communist Party USA. We've gotten sidetracked by Antifa, which is the violent arm of the Democrat Party. We've all heard of Black Lives Matter, and of course, and how the leadership of Black Lives Matter has absconded and abused the funds that were donated, to use the word, by, you know, large corporations like Toyota and Coca-Cola. But look at the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, RevCom, which has long had a specialty of racial agitation. Its seizure of the George Floyd outrage is obvious right now at their website. Groups like RevCom and the Communist Party USA were very active in the summer of 2014 in Ferguson, Missouri, shamelessly tossing gasoline on the fire just as it seemed to be mercifully cooling off. The official Communist Party USA website rallied, let us turn grief and anger into action and change. The grief and anger was over Ferguson, but it was channeled to explicitly Marxist action and change. And this is what we have today. So we're caught up in the emotion, and the videos are violent with Tyrese Nichols. But why is this happening? Why? And we've had this civil unrest certainly for what, 50, 60, 70 years? But just when America was coming together, just when America was putting this racial divide aside, and we certainly had a long way to go, we had Barack Obama and Joe Biden fuel the flames of hate and division. And then 10 years later, once again, you've got Joe Biden, the former vice president, and now the installed president, fueling the fire of hate and division. His comments were reckless. His comments were reprehensible. And I'm sorry, as a president of the United States, he certainly could have said something that was a bit more politically savvy. But Biden stated he was outraged and deeply pained after seeing the video. It's yet another painful reminder of the profound fear and trauma, the pain and the exhaustion that Black and brown Americans experience every single day. Create that victim status. Drive that wedge. Continue to drive the wedge of racial divide in America. Make sure that you incorporate identity politics. And this is what Marxists have done. This is the Cloward and Piven strategy. This is the Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. This is everything anti-American that you can think of. Yeah, and that's true, Guy. I do apologize. Why would we expect Joe to say something profound? Yeah, that was Actually, my apologies. Really, Joe Biden really can't say anything profound because he's a profound imbecile is what he is. And it's sad because the opportunity, okay, in this country to move forward, and you've got, I'm sorry, but you look at sporting teams. There's black guys playing with white guys. It's not even an issue. When we played sports, it didn't matter the color of a person's skin. And suddenly now we have to have a racial divide. When you walk off the field, you have to change. Why? Why? It's not 1966 or 1967. This is 2021, the 21st century. We've come a long way. And yet there are spiteful and hateful people out there who want to continue to drive that wedge of racism. And Joe Biden is one of them. The less than transparent Joe Biden. Joe Biden, the cover-up of Joe Biden, who can't answer any questions about his classified documents, not in one place, not in two, not in three, four places. And yet this man who tried to sell us on the fact that he was the most transparent man, administration that there would be out there is nothing but a full of crap, and he's full of garbage. It's one lie after another. It's one cliche after another with this man. And when he's asked about the classified documents, he suddenly has amnesia. Now, we understand he probably has amnesia more than suddenly, and it's probably more frequent, but the fact is that he has no intention of telling you anything. You know, from how he ran his campaign from the basement to answering questions to press conferences, they don't exist. And suddenly that's okay. Suddenly it's okay. You know, President Trump, 30 minutes walking down a line going to Marine One from the White House. Joe Biden, 13 seconds. Ask him one question and he walks away. I don't know. The man doesn't know much, does he? This is unacceptable. Americans need to know about the classified documents. And why senior advisor Anita Dunn waited 6 days before the midterm, okay? But no, she waited 68 days for the issue of the classified documents to be disclosed by the media. 68 days. And the classified documents were uncovered 6 days before the election in 2022. And if this had happened under Trump, one day they would have waited. And Adam Schiff would have been out there about cover-up, and Nancy Pelosi would have been covered up. This is unacceptable. You know, we would have heard all the cliches and slogans. And now the Uniparty, the government party in Washington, D.C., is rallying to this guy's defense. So we still don't know about Hunter Biden and the laptop. There is no accountability for the big guy, Tony Bobulinski, the business partner of Hunter Biden, revealed. And now we've got not one, not two, but four places of classified documents being uncovered. And one of the very first location is the Penn Biden Center, which is funded by the communist Chinese. Some say it's $25 million. Just a year ago, 2 years ago, it was $72 million that was funded. Some say now it's $50 million. Okay? All we need to know is it was tens of millions of dollars that the communist Chinese infused in the Penn Biden Center, and there were classified documents in that building. That's a dereliction of duty. Joe Biden stole classified material as vice president of the United States, which, by the way, his term ended in January 20th in 2017. So for 5.5 years, classified documents have been floating around, and Joe Biden is not held accountable for those actions. The DNC media outlets ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, PBS, NPR, National Propaganda Radio, all seem to have amnesia and avoiding this giant scandal. But it's not a scandal because the left-wing media continues to protect and shield Joe Biden. And why? Why? Now, could it be that they really don't want Kamala Harris in that in the seat in the White House because she's absolutely a dimwit? She's an empty suit? But then again, why is Joe Biden being protected? Why is there two sets of standards now, two sets of rules in Washington, D.C.? One was to continually lie about Donald Trump. Today, it's to continually cover up for Joe Biden. 50 years in public office, and no wonder he was never fit to become president of the United States, never given the nod by his party back in the 80s. And suddenly, this guy, as Holger said, emerges out of a South Carolina primary. He's in third place, teetering on fourth place with Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. And miraculously, he wins South Carolina because James Coburn, Representative Coburn, fixes it in South Carolina. I'm sorry, endorses him in South Carolina. Yeah, why are we outraged? Because there's two sets of standards in the United States. One is for the uniparty. One is for the cabal. It's okay that Joe Biden terminates their leases and takes the Keystone Pipeline off, and suddenly we've got the highest inflation in 40 years and no accountability. Classified documents, Hunter's laptop, no accountability. And we're talking about the compromising of national security. And this is what really should infuriate each and every American, irrespective of party affiliation. It shouldn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. The fact is, Joe Biden has got a career in politics in 50 years in the United States government. This guy has all the answers, or he had all the answers. Talking about how President Trump was reckless in having classified documents locked up in a safe in his compound in Mar-a-Lago with Secret Service protection. Now let's talk about the same thing with Joe Biden. 6 years, 7 years documents at the Penn Biden Center, which was funded by the communist Chinese. There was no protection. There was no security. There were no safes. This has become a Republican and a Democrat thing now. We're talking about national security. National security being compromised by a man who has been in the United States government for 50 plus years. And we can't get answers. We the people can't get answers. We get stonewalled. And you wonder why conservatives are upset? We're watching on a daily basis how two sets of standards are applied, how we're being stonewalled by the very institution that is taking more and more of our liberties each and every day. That's not the United States of America. These people have evil intentions, and the intention is to dismantle our constitutional republic. And we just watch how this feckless old fraud continues to get away with just about everything. No accountability. He was asked a question about the classified documents. Oh, I have no knowledge of it. Oh, you have no knowledge of it, and he walks away. That was the only question taken by a field press. One, I have no knowledge of that. Well, what do you have knowledge of? And why are we accepting this? Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening. I'm going to end it there. We'll watch how this Tyree Nichols unfolds. We'll find out if anything more comes out of Joe Biden's breach of national security, not in one location, not in two, but in four locations, including the Penn Biden Center that was funded by Communist China, upwards to $72 million. Joe Biden is not an honest man. Ilhan Omar is not an honest woman. The Democrat Party is a cancer on our republic, our constitutional republic. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. Check out Hank's show at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Hank's going to do a show on Thursdays as well. And I believe that, I don't know what time that will be, but Hank will make the announcement on Wednesday evening show. Friday, we got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent. He'll be back Sunday afternoon. And Monday, Al and I will be back. Hopefully, Al will be back next week, and hopefully I'll have a little bit of a voice. voice is kind of shot here today. I'm sorry about that. Please keep T-Ski and Dave, Airways America, in your prayers. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out Andy on Blog Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with our sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4. Got Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Hey, if you want a break from Islam and politics and you want a great self-help show, please check out the Simone Nicole Show. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Spreaker.com. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check out Audrey's show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. And again, Mr. P does her opening rants, and he is fantastic. He's spot on. Really like that man. And I'm going to ask, and many of you here know Boyd, and I'm asking that you please keep Boyd and Mrs. Boyd in your thoughts and your prayers. So we'll be back next Monday evening. I want to thank you all for joining us, and you all be safe out there and be aware of your surroundings. God bless America. Ciao, folks.
And now the end is near. So I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up
laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my